Our reading for today from Micah chapter 6 verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and the hills hear your voice. Hear you, mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done for you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent you before Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old, will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. My message today is entitled, Love, Not Faith-Based Actions. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. It's probably one of the best known verses in the Bible, but what most people don't actually know about it is that it's part of a mock trial. You see, God is putting the people of God on trial for not doing what they've been directed to do. They, it would seem, at least from their answer, have been spending a whole lot of time doing the ritual and the dogmatic parts of their religion and not a lot of time practicing what God has required of them. There are actually plenty of theologians who will tell you that if they had to pick one quote from the Old Testament to summarize the whole of the teachings of Jesus, it might just be this one from Micah. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God? But if you watch the lives of many churchgoers, if you watch them carefully, you'll see that some people just don't take it very seriously, or at the very least, not seriously enough to put it into practice. And before we allow ourselves to start feeling like we're all a little bit better than that, it needs to be said that sometimes it's the most progressive churches who fail to extend the concept of caring for those in need to actually extending their hands and their lives to those in need, connecting with people outside of the walls of the church and getting to know them and appreciate them face to face, building up true relationships. For some people, when you look at how they live their lives, it's as if the verse actually says, if you find it convenient, do justice. And love kindness, unless, of course, you have a really good reason for not liking the person. And walk humbly with God, you know, in heaven. You don't have to worry about it so much here on earth. As I've mentioned, in the do justice, love kindness, walk humbly verse, God is putting the people of Israel on trial because they're not taking seriously enough the things that God tells them to do. As a matter of fact, from their response to God, it would seem that they've fallen into this life of ritual, this life of just pure dogma, of repeating the things that they've become comfortable with over the course of time without much thought being put into why they are doing them, or even if they are what God is asking them to do. So much so that when God asks the question, puts them on trial, asks them the question about their lack of action, their response is more ritual. They say, should we give you a burnt offering? In response to that question, you can almost hear the words attributed to God from the book of Amos. in his response. I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me burnt offerings, I will not accept them. Indeed, instead, let justice roll like mighty waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Now here in Micah, the prophet answers on behalf of God saying, what does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Micah says, you are being judged by God because you have stopped following the ways of God, the ways of love, and you've started following rituals and dogma of your own making. And those kinds of offerings do not further love here on earth. God wants you to be about seeking justice and practicing kindness and love and doing so humbly. Most of the times when preacher types talk about verses like this, the go and do kinds of verses, they spend most of their time focusing on the importance of having faith in what we're called to, and how that should move us and motivate us into actually doing, in this case, into doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly. I have to say, I personally am not very interested in doing something just because I've been told to do it and told that I should have faith to follow. Frankly, I don't actually have much use for that. I am much more interested in why we are to do justice, love kindness, walk humbly. You see, up until this point in the Bible, there's been a rather consistent story for the people of God. They find themselves in a bad situation, sometimes their own choices, sometimes just because that's the way things happen. Then, because of how much God loves them, God saves them and delivers them from harm. Now, honestly, that's the story in the Old Testament over and over again. As a matter of fact, just before the question, what does the Lord require? Before it's asked, God reminds the people of this recurrence of love in the Bible story by saying, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent you before Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Remember now what King Balak of Moab devised and what happened to Shittim to Gilgal. All of that list, this is God reminding the people of God about the love that was extended to them. Reminding them of how frequently God extended love to them regardless of their situation, and in doing so, reminding them of how astoundingly big that love is. Now, reasonably, the Israelites' response is to want to thank God for this love, to return something to God. So they ask, should we bring burnt offerings? How about 1,000 rams with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? And then they even offer up their firstborn, the fruit of their bodies for the sins of their souls. So ultimately in this story, we have God saying, don't you get that you've received an astoundingly large amount of love? And the people saying, we do. How do we respond? The reply to how do we respond is simply, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God? What this exchange between God and the people of God is meant to tell us is this. Properly understood, love is not something that happens to you and then you just sit there where you are. God is saying, if you truly get the fact that you've received love, if you deeply understand what love is and the improbableness of it and the overwhelming joy that comes with it, if you understand that and have received it, which we all have, there's no way that you would be satisfied with doing things that only impact you and your spiritual life. God is saying that if you honestly understand love, there's only one reasonable response, and that is to share it with others. If you are doing justice, loving kindness, walking humbly with God, then if you're not doing those things, then what God is saying to you is you probably don't get love fully yet. Because love cannot be contained. Love grows when it's shared. Particularly when it's shared not just in words, but in actions. Particularly actions of justice, kindness, and humility. If you have love, experience love, share love, it grows. It grows and you experience it in abundance. That's just how love works. If you fully get love and give love, you will have an abundance. I am suggesting that what we do with that abundance, an abundance that I am deeply convicted exists here in this community, I'm suggesting that what we do with that abundance is to extend it to other people in love-based actions. Not just in words and in gestures. In actions. And what do love-based actions look like? Well, they look like doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly. For me, they are the things that God requires of us in that they are this. Let me repeat that again. For me, they are what God requires of us in that they are what life requires of us. What life pushes us towards. When we have a true, deep understanding and experience of love, that is where life leads us. When we fully comprehend the depth and the fullness of love, we are propelled to go into the world and share it in acts of justice, in acts of love, in acts of humility. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice. To love kindness. To walk humbly.